which is less obvious. And minor shirk is what the Prophet Muhammad had said was most feared for his ummah. The thing which he feared the most for them, which would cause them to deviate, was this minor shirk. And he referred to it as riya. And one of his companions, Ibn Abbas, described it as being like a black ant crawling on a black stone in the middle of a moonless night. It sneaks up on you like that, without you knowing it. Because all it involves is just a change of intent. And when he was asked about it, he explained that it is when a worshipper stands up to pray, and people are around him, and he starts to pray longer or whatever to impress people. Will you do acts of worship to impress other people? You destroy the value of that worship. You are in fact entering into a state of disbelief. Surah Al-Ma'un, Allah begins by saying, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the one who denies the judgment, the day of judgment? And amongst those who are included in that category is the one who prays, he says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. Those who pray to be seen. These are amongst those who deny the day of judgment. They're praying so that others will be impressed by them, will say, oh, what a pious person this is. And it's something which can sneak up on any of us. We're in prayer and we sense that somebody who we respect comes into the room. You know, normally we'd finish the prayer in a minute. Here we are now taking 5 minutes, you know, 10 minutes. Dangerous. Very dangerous. So we have to be very careful that the intent does not change in the course of our practice, which would lead to the destruction of our deeds. So we're saying basically that the conditions for the acceptance of worship in Islam, for it to be considered truly tawheed, an expression of tawheed, is that one, it must be in accordance with the sunnah. It must be following the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not something which we have speculated on, we have designed ourselves or whatever. It is something which has been conveyed to us directly by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second condition is that there must be ikhlas. There must be sincerity of intent. That we are doing that act of worship purely for the pleasure of Allah. With those two conditions, then whatever act of worship we do, it becomes an expression of tawheed, which is acceptable to Allah and for which we will be rewarded. In closing, I'd like to also point out that the maintenance of the worship or the unity of Allah in our worship is the first pillar of our faith. When we talk about the six pillars of Iman, the first one is belief in Allah. You know, that is, belief in Allah refers to worshipping Allah. It is the essence of the Shahada, La ilaha illallah. This is what we're saying here. That there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. It is the essence of the good Muslim character, of righteousness. All of that is embodied in Tawheed al-Ibadah. How we treat people. We see so much where the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ has talked of those as not truly believing in Allah, not truly worshipping Allah, if they treat their neighbors badly, if they harm the Muslims. Even, for example, an issue like racism, you know, where brothers or some brothers may feel that other brothers are inferior to them because of their racial background. And this is something which we should not be afraid to confront, because we are developing, growing up, evolving out of a society which was built on racism, which promotes racism, nationalism. So these things might be inside of ourselves without even realizing it. But they, in fact, are contrary to Tawheed al-Ibadah. Because Allah has already defined for us who are superior. Those who fear Allah the most. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. So once we deviate from that principle, then we are displeasing Allah. When we start to judge people because of their cultural background or their racial background, then we are displeasing Allah. We're doing acts which are not acts of worship. They are anti-worship. They're displeasing to Allah. And we become true worshippers of Allah when we treat people as they should be treated. As creations of Allah, believers, our brothers, our sisters, first, before all else. So, Tawheed al-Ibadah was the essence of the message of the prophets, and it is comprehensive. It touches all aspects of our lives. So we should not look at it as a concept, theoretical concept that we understand, that we grasp, but we have to translate it into action in our lives. Because there are many forms of shirk that can appear in our actions when we displease Allah in what we do. When we please Allah, we are worshipping Him. When we displease Him, we have ended up worshipping Satan. Because it's either worshipping Allah or worshipping Satan. And as a closing statement of the Prophet ﷺ, I'd like to just remind you all that the Prophet ﷺ had said, "Ud'u Allah wa antum muqinoon bil ijaba wa alamu أن الله لا يستجيب دعاء من قلب غافل له." That you should call on Allah in worship. We should call on Allah being certain that He will answer our prayers. It is the promise of Allah that He will answer the prayers of the believers. So we should call on Him with that certainty. But we should know at the same time that He will not answer the prayers of a heart which is neglectful, that is involved in folly. That is not just the action of calling, but it is the sincerity in the calling which will guarantee for us an answer. So if we maintain our tawheed in our worship, then we also guarantee for ourselves that Allah will answer all of our prayers and reward us with the ultimate reward of paradise in the next life. And with that, inshallah, I will close, giving you a chance now to enter into the question answer session. And I think food is also around the corner. So please, let us make the questions which are relevant to the topic, first and foremost, short and brief, so that everybody will get a chance and that we can finish in time to catch our dinner.
You can take maybe one from the floor. People have sent up in writing also.
Yeah,
you can take turns, one from the floor, one from in writing, one from the sister.
That's one that needs to be
here.
Yeah, okay, we've got quite a lot here as well, so I'll leave the top one to sit. And this one's next for all of us.
Okay, there's one from the floor, let's just take it.
I've got a message, it's not for the people, but
make an announcement, yeah?
Barakallah fik.
Can we quieten down, inshallah? Alhamdulillah, if we can quieten down, we can start the questions and answers sessions for the next 10-15 minutes. Before we get an announcement, there is a mother waiting outside who has not seen her son for half a day. His name is Muazzam Hussain, 14 years old from Middlesbrough. Muazzam Hussain, 14 years old from Middlesbrough. She is waiting by the bouncing castle. At the end, please remember this carefully, because when the session ends, everybody would want like to rush out. At the end, sisters should wait for 10 minutes. Sisters should wait for 10 minutes, and brothers should move swiftly and quickly to the dining hall immediately. And sisters will proceed 10 minutes later. This measure is due to too many mixing. Many people are concerned. This is just to avoid mixing. So brothers can move out fast and quick, go to dining hall, and the sisters, and 10 minutes later, start moving to the dining hall, inshallah. Okay, the first question was from the right-hand side, that brother over there. If you wish, you can come to the front and speak into the microphone, or speak very loudly from there. Up to you.
I think Allah has given me the voice.
Alhamdulillah.
With great respect, I agree entirely what the learned Sheikh said about the theory of Einstein. But Einstein did not know that in this theory, which he has stated, part of it confirms with Islam that energy cannot be destroyed, but part of it is wrong. Where Einstein is right, energy can be destroyed, is exemplified by the fact that whether we are buried in the grave, whether we are cremated, or whether we are devoured by animals and we are buried in the sea, anything, there is some spot, and by the command of Allah, from that particular spot or that step, the same thing will be created again. So Einstein is right. No matter if you want to destroy the body, the heat of the body, you cannot destroy it. So Islam agrees that we shall all rise. But where Einstein was wrong, where he said that energy can be destroyed, he was ignorant. And now the Western scientists are going back to what is given in the Bible, and I hope you will agree with it, that when Allah ordered that the fire should be extinguished, not extinguished, but the heat of the fire should not injure the body of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the fire, the heat of the fire is an attribute, because Allah has given that attribute to that fire. If Allah wants it, the fire can cool down. And another thing in the same...
We have to limit your questions, this time is very short.
This is the point that I hope the learned speaker agrees. And it also, we are also coming to the point where the heat of the sun will be destroyed. He says energy cannot be destroyed. So sometimes he is right and sometimes he is wrong. So he is a confused person. And alhamdulillah, you agree that in the knowledge of the Quran, the heat of the sun will extinguish. And therefore, it is predicted that the world will end, and there is a scientific method which has been evolved. Everything is being given. I am only relating to it that everything is being given in the Quran. يَوْمَ يُنْفَقُ الْسُّورِ فَتَعْبُونَ أَفْوَالٍ وَفُتِيَ الْجَمَاعُ فَقَانَ كَبَابٍ وَطُيِّرِتَ الْجِبَالَ فَقَانَ السَّرَابٍ. So I hope you will agree that everything is given. I wanted your confirmation, because if you as a scholar agree with this, many people will be stimulated to read Einstein in the light of Islamic practice. This was my point.
Inshallah. Or what can be done is just that the question can be repeated. If the questions can be just kept, you know, quite brief, then it can be repeated, because maybe people from different points might be quite difficult to get to the mics. You know, those that are close, fine. So you know, the point our brother was really commenting, not really questioning, but you know, commenting that certain aspects of Einstein's theory is wrong, but certain aspects is right in the sense that some aspects of Allah's creation, you know, is not destroyed, specifically in reference to man, that when he dies and his body, you know, dissipates, etc., that there does remain a portion, you know, which the Prophet Muhammad has spoken about, which is not destroyed, and which will be brought back. It's the basis from which his creation will be renewed. However, really what I was speaking of was the general attribute which Einstein has given to matter or energy. And these attributes, in their absolute sense, which is
what appears in the statement that Einstein made, these statements or these descriptions belong only to Allah, not to his any aspect or any part of his creation. It belongs only to Allah. He is the first and the last. He is the one without beginning and without end. These are his attributes. And to give these attributes to creation is wrong.
Okay, we'll have a question from the sister's side now. If the sisters could ask the question now, perhaps, any one of them.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
My question is regarding what the brother said, the Sheikh said about the husband's wife and children being a fitna for him. Would it work the other way as well, when the wife's husband is a fitna for her?
Okay, of course, when Allah speaks, you know, of the wives and the children becoming a fitna, it goes without saying that the converse is also true, that the husband can also become a fitna for the wife, you know, or the parents could become a fitna for the child, you know, or the child become a fitna for the husband or the wife. I mean, what it's saying that all of those things that we love dearly can become a fitna to us. They become our enemies when they become that fitna. When our love for them becomes so great, it goes beyond the limits which were set by Allah, then those that we love become our enemies. Meaning that they are taking us to hell, and that is the worst end.
We must remember to keep the question short, yes, inshallah.
Concerning Tawheed al-Ibadah, alhamdulillah, you have explained very nicely that the rest of the lecture and the whole affairs about Tawheed al-Ibadah, we need to involve Tawheed more and more. This is one point I want to raise, that you have rightly mentioned Tawheed al-Ibadah to include all these things. This is one of the greatest Ummah is suffering. But another equally fitna that Tawheed al-Ibadah is exactly in India, that if people blindly following the law, the rulers are blind. Another university in the country, look at the Muslim world, whole Muslim world, is that the Muslims are going performing for India meeting Alhamdulillah, yet they are pleased with their laws, they are far from Europe, from here and there, they need to go up to Tawarim, to Tawarim,
Okay, thank you very much, brother. Actually, it's part of my notes, but I got this section, you know, when I got the signal that I only have 5 minutes left, I had to cut down, but truly it was in my notes here, and it is mentioned in my book on Tawheed, that this is a very important aspect of Tawheed, you know, demonstrated from the hadith of Adi ibn Hatim, in which the Prophet ﷺ had quoted that, you know, the Jews and Christians take their Lord, their rabbis and monks and rabbis as lords besides Allah. And Adi tried to correct the Prophet ﷺ, you know, saying that, no, we don't worship them. But then the Prophet ﷺ asked him, you know, don't they make things halal and you accept it as being halal? And he said, yes. Don't they make things haram and you accept it as being haram? He said, yes. He said, well, that's your worship of them. So this shows us that if any system, whether it be a religious system or it be a governmental system, which sets out to set for the Muslims what is halal and haram, which is not in accordance with the divine sharia, then this becomes a worship of that system. Rulers become our gods. When we submit to the laws, if they bring laws other than the laws of Allah, then we have taken them as gods besides Allah. And so it is the duty of Muslims, wherever they may be, wherever they are in the majority, it is their duty for them to ensure and insist on the Sharia as being the law of their lands. And any struggle which is for that, which stays within the bounds that have been set by Islam, then this is a righteous struggle, this is jihad, which we all should support in with our wealth, our bodies, our time. However, you know, it is our duty. And we should recognize those righteous struggles which are going on around the world, and we should speak about them. You know, I'm sorry if I, you know, had neglected this aspect. As I said, my time was, the time here is a bit short, and I did have it down to speak on, but it is a very, very important point, because this is another major fitna which is facing the Ummah today. And especially because of the fact that the actions of some groups, like for example the PLO, which is not an Islamic group in its essence at all, though there are Muslims and some people we cannot say are not Muslims amongst them, but this is a very compromised movement which involves communists and the Christians and everybody. And this movement has some of its branches commit acts of terrorism in the name of fighting for Islam, Muslims, etc. You know, for liberating Palestine. They have committed some very atrocious acts, acts which are not acceptable by Islam in any way, shape or form. And what this has done is it has created in the minds of many Muslims, you know, the idea that any kind of a struggle where lives may be taken or whatever becomes not good. Islamically, we should avoid any kind of violence. You know, the Islamic movement is non-violent. Of course not. The Islamic movement, when the time it reaches a point where violence is necessary, then Muslims should never hesitate to take that step. But it must be in accordance to the ways which have been clearly defined in the Sharia. We are not those who will stick a bomb in an airport and just take out innocent people. You know, we stick a bomb in an airplane, in a bus, whatever. This is not the way of the Muslims. If we have people who are fighting against, there's the army, the force, or whatever that is, it has committed itself to trying to destroy Islam, to stop Islam from establishing itself, arms against them is a part of jihad, is none of us can deny in Islam. But of course, do it with knowledge, correctly. You know, we have to be very careful that people don't just run on, you know, without, you know, half-baked, as we say. You know, their knowledge is limited, and they're running more on emotion, and they end up committing and justifying acts permissible in Islam. But otherwise, it is the duty of each and every Muslim to work towards the establishment of Islam wherever they are. And when the majority, they have the most right to insist that they are ruled by the law. A question from the sisters in writing. Is there a difference in the punishment between minor and major shirk? Allah has told us that shirk is an unforgivable sin. Does it include minor shirk? The difference. Major shirk, a person who dies in a shirk, is destined. If they have died in that state without repenting before the death angel comes, or they feel, you know, they're overcome, it starts in their throat, if they don't seek forgiveness from Allah before that, then they are destined to hell. A person who is involved in minor shirk, see, this may affect certain of your deeds. You know, you may lose the prayer in which you made it longer because some people were around. You lost the value of that prayer. But it doesn't mean every prayer that you make now is inmitted. As long as you correct your intention back, then you're okay. But if minor shirk becomes your attribute, characteristic, then it will take you to hell. This is what Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, that the first three people will be thrown in hell. A scholar who allowed it. What did you do with the knowledge I gave you? And he said, well, you know, I taught the people for your sake, O Allah, you know. And Allah will say, no, you didn't. You taught the people so that they would say, what a great scholar. You know, what a knowledgeable person. And you have received your praise. Nothing left for you but the hellfire. He'll be dragged off on his face and thrown in hell. The other one was a rich person. And in any case, they're mentioned. But the point here, what is the point here? The point is that this was minor shirk that he was doing. But because minor shirk in the case of that scholar became his main program, all that he was doing, all of the teaching he was doing was seeking praise from people. Then that minor shirk became major for him and took him to hell. Interesting.
that tour in the next month or so of Warakdeen Mohammed, who you've heard of him. He's planning to go to different cities throughout England. He's going to be filling himself with following Quran and Sunnah and being in for the cause of Islam. Is there any information you can give to the people here who are from different parts of England explaining this man's aqidah and what he believes in, whether he's in the right way?
Well, actually, this is a very big topic here, brother. You know,
he's coming to England in the next month, and he's planning to go to many different cities around England.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for Muslims to know just what Islam believes in, because he comes, so he says, in the name of Quran and Sunnah, the same way as everyone here. So he needs to be explained. Some things, you might have a lot of knowledge, like myself and other brothers. It needs to be laid out what this man's all about. If you think about anything.
Okay. I would say that the probably the most important point, the question of the brother, it concerns the so-called Imam Warisuddin Muhammad, who is supposed to be coming here to do a tour of England, coming here as a leader of Muslims in America and an upholder of the Quran and Sunnah. However, from the man's statements to date, he continues to praise his father, Elijah Muhammad, who claimed that Allah was a man, and that he was the last messenger of Allah. This son of his, though he has changed much of the practices that were done in the time of the father, he still insists on praising his father, referring to him as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You see, and the Prophet ﷺ had said very clearly, "Man waqqara sahiba bid'atin faqad aana ala hadmi al-Islam." Whoever honors a mubtadi', one who is innovating in the religion, whoever honors such a person has helped to destroy Islam. This man, Elijah Muhammad, is the worst of mankind. He is cursed by Allah. Allah has said so many places in the Quran, who is worse than the one who claims to receive revelation? He's received nothing. This is the worst of mankind. So to honor such a person is a major deviation. So such a belief on his part, and there are many other things from the past in terms of statements that he has made in the past, which he has never really, you know, addressed. Though he no longer says them, he has left them in writing, etc., and they still remain amongst in the minds of his followers, etc. But for me, this really sums up his attitude towards his father, sums up really the level of his Islam. And that's how we judge the people. If you praise one who is cursed by Allah, then you are displeasing Allah. You have deviated. Part of our faith is to love those who Allah loves and to hate those who Allah hates. So Farrakhan, for example, another individual who may be a very, you know, effective and eloquent spokesman, who excite people, etc., and talks and uses the name of Islam, etc., but he is a reviver of the teachings of Elijah Muhammad exactly as they were in the time of Elijah Muhammad. So to even speak of him in an honorable fashion, to honor him, to praise him, this is a major mistake on the part of Muslims. He is an enemy of Islam. And all who would seek to praise those who are enemies of Allah, put themselves in the category of being enemies of Allah.
Alhamdulillah, unfortunately we have to finish at almost 5:30.